Welcome everyone to All About Windows Phone Insight Podcast 217. Mr. Rafe Blandford is still very busy. We're hoping to get him on for next week, but in the meantime we have another first-timer, a guest podcaster we have, Steve Heinrich. Have I pronounced that right?
It's Heinrich, yeah.
Heinrich. There we go. And just introduce people to roughly where you are in the world, how old you are, and what you do for a living.
I am 32. I live in Valparaiso, Indiana, in the United States, which is pretty close to Chicago. And I do graphic and web design and some web development full-time.
Okay, and you're also the guy who helped me out when I was refactoring the apps and games section of AAWP, and I was having all sorts of trouble with my divs and my sections, and so thank you very much for sorting that out and making that possible.
Yeah, my pleasure. Happy to help.
Just to take people a whistle-stop tour of how you got to where you are at the moment, what's your main smartphone at the moment?
Crazy enough, it's actually the Motorola Moto G third generation from 2015, the 2 gigabyte of RAM version. But I also have a Lumia 950 and an LG G5, kind of as my play devices on the side right now.
It's kind of a common theme, really. I mean, Rafe Blandford has often said that he uses an iPhone most of the time because that's what his work requires. But that he, I think, a Lumia 830 with a kind of his personal phone with all his personal stuff on. And most of us seem to be going down a similar line. I've got a ZTE Axon 7 as my primary at the moment, mainly because I love, people know I love front-facing loud stereo speakers, and this has got it. The Lumias, they've got great cameras, but the speakers aren't so hot. So I've got my 950 XL, which I really enjoy using in almost every single way, and yet it's my secondary, and it's got my personal SIM card, if you like, in. Take us through how you got to the Lumia 950 XL and also how you got to having an Android device as well. Where were you, say, 3 or 4 years ago?
Well, I would say I was actually probably in the midst of my my Windows Phone exploring, I should say. It was a time where I started with the HTC 8X with 16 gigabytes of storage. Yeah. That was probably one of my favorite Windows phones. But I kind of got it and then couldn't use it right away. The apps and everything, the app gap, and so I sold that and kind of went back to Android. I was always an Android purist. I started with the G1 back the first release of that phone. But I kind of owned Nexus phones up until that point, stopping with the Galaxy Nexus. But then I kind of went into a tirade of Windows Phone. Because I kind of tend to lean towards the budget side of phones, and so the Lumia line definitely provided for that. So the Lumia 620, probably a few years ago, was probably what got me into the Lumia line the most. That was a great little phone that I really enjoyed it. But that's kind of how I got into Windows Phone. And then I eventually got an 820 and a 635 and a 640 and an 810, and they just started to add up. Just trying to try them all out, because I really, really enjoy Windows Phone. It's just a shame that it can't be as robust as Android is.
That's interesting. Now, you used the word robust. I would argue that in terms of stability, day to day, I would argue that Windows 10 Mobile now is just as stable as my Android phones. You mentioned earlier the app gap, and maybe we'll come back to that in a moment because that's still very much a going thing. But in stability, are you saying that you find Android more stable than Windows 10 Mobile now?
I wouldn't say that necessarily. When I say robust, I do kind of mean towards the software side of things, as far as the apps and because through work I do use Google apps through work. So I guess it is just this being tied to Google and all of that. I kind of wish there was a little bit more integration with Windows Phone because it would definitely tip me that way.
So by robust, you really kind of mean a complete, as in everything you need, rather than physical stability. Yeah. So it's interesting you mentioned the app gap even back then in sort of 2012, 2013, 2014, which it undoubtedly was. The Windows Phone 8.1 didn't have all the, quote, apps that the iPhone had in the day. And famously, it still doesn't have Windows 10 Mobile today, with some of the applications coming along, Snapchat being a prime example, but also the Google apps and people things like YouTube. Famously, there are still yawning gaps in the if you're actually after lots and lots of third party apps, and especially for services, for niche banks, boutique apps, whatever, there are still big gaps. If you want to use a Lumia 950 XL or a Lumia of any kind, Windows 10 Mobile device in 2017, if you have to be happy with the core apps and a handful of selected others and not try and reach out too much further. It's interesting that we've never got, in those intervening 4 years, we've never reached a point where there were all the apps. We've had this app gap yawning and being maintained for ages.
Right, and I think that Windows Phone does those core apps the best out of all of the mobile operating systems. Yeah. That's what's really kept me buying Windows phones and trying them is that the texting, the calling, everything is, and the photos, taking photos, everything I feel is probably the best and easiest and most stable experience on a mobile OS, even now still.
Yeah, which is what makes the lack of applications as really the biggest crying shame. And in parallel with that, we've got the lack of devices to buy. Now, I did notice that there was some news today as we record this on the 1st of June 2017, that on the 1st of July, the Alcatel Idol 4S or 4S Pro will be coming to Germany, apparently, and which will mean this was previously a USA exclusive. Now it's got a Snapdragon 820, so it's pretty highly specified. The camera isn't the best, but it's got loud stereo speakers, which I shall love, and I shall be certainly looking to try and import one of these to do some kind of review on AWP for myself. So we've got this in parallel with this app gap, Steve. We've got the hardware gap now is starting to yawn. 2 years ago, of course, there wasn't a hardware gap. You could buy Lumias at most price ranges. There were even some third party manufacturers. We've now got to the point, really, where there's not very much choice, and there is a hardware gap as well.
Right, and God bless Alcatel for being one of the few manufacturers to keep pushing out any sort of Windows phone. So, because who knows what the timeline is for a Microsoft branded one.
Yeah. I did an article at the start of the week entitled Windows 10 Mobile and the Future, including a self-explanatory chart. But I wanted to map ahead, really, what happened to the different parts of Windows 10 architecture as we go forward. Now, don't switch off at the word architecture. It's not terribly technical, but Windows 10 is basically split up into various bits, and quite a few of those bits do carry on from branch to branch. So although Microsoft hasn't been making Windows 10 mobile handsets for a good year now, there are still plenty of people using it, and the universal app platform, things like the Edge browser, the store, servicing, Cortana, all of those things, they're being updated continually. In terms of bug fix updates to the production builds, we've got UWP applications, Outlook, Calendar, Maps, Photo, OneDrive, all of those. They're all being updated across all Windows 10 platforms again, including Windows 10 Mobile. So those are going to carry on. The core, the one core, the kernel, the networking, the security, all of the under the hood stuff, the encryption, the power management, storage, all of that has been split, and that's partly why my chart got complicated, Steve. If you can look at the blocks there, you can see the orange bit.
It did take a few minutes to sort out exactly what was going on.
It took me quite a few tries on bits of paper to try and work out what the heck how I was going to do it with dotted lines and dashed lines and colours. I think I got there. If there's a better way to explore this chart, then somebody do please email me with a more elegant way to do it, but hopefully people get the picture. But yeah, one core, which is the kernel and the stuff at the low level, that has been split. Now my reading of that, Steve, was that they're having to completely redo all the kernel and stuff for the fact that everything's going to have to run on ARM chipsets as well as x86 chipsets. That's a huge undertaking at a kernel level. And there's so many bits in terms of the full Windows 10, if you go back to Windows 7, Windows 8.1, there's so many bits under the hood that are kind of they're from legacy architectures, legacy functions, and they're there and they're still having to be developed and maintained and now refactored for this new chipset. And there's an awful lot going on. And the last thing they wanted was to do some major work on that and then have Windows 10 mobile users, enthusiasts, pop up and say, hang on a minute, you've broken our phones. So what they did basically, as I understand it, they said, look, these parts of One Core, the security, the policies, the authentication, whatever, we're going to split that off and that will be parallel. That will carry on in parallel. But we can't carry on calling it Redstone 3 because it's not exactly the same. Let's call it Feature 2, which I think is a crazy and simplistic name, but there we are. So basically, I think they've just split it off and said, you'll get some of it. There's no point in giving you all of it because most of the stuff we're adding in is all for the extra creator tools and story remix and mixed reality and the dual chipset support. And you don't need any of that on the phone, so we're not going to give it to you. We're not going to complicate you. We're not going to risk breaking something. Does this sound reasonable?
I think, you know what, all in all, I would say it what they're doing is fine, and the way they're going about it is probably fine, because really, if you think about it right now, things as far as fanboys and outcry, I feel like it is kind of, you know, I mean, every once in a while, a Windows Phone is dead article will get everybody going again, you know, but I feel like whatever they're doing, I'm happy to stand by and wait, mostly because I think they were smart not to release too many phones in the recent years, just because it would fracture, I think, what they're doing right now, and it is amplified in this chart. Yeah, I'm good with it. I think I'm good with it.
Yeah, if you look at the red dashed line indicating basically the scope of Windows 10 Mobile, you can see that the dashed line stops on the right-hand edge of the chart. Now, this is not strictly true. It would actually carry on beyond spring 2018 because UWP applications, all those apps I mentioned earlier, they'll carry on. What we don't expect, I don't expect to happen, is that Microsoft will carry on developing the, quote, Feature 2 branch beyond the sort of the autumn 2017, beyond what the equivalent of Redstone 3 on the desktop. So basically what we're saying is that you'll still, after the autumn 2017, if you've got a Windows 10 mobile device, Lumia 950, whatever, you will carry on getting these the monthly security updates and the sort of patch Tuesday fixes, but you won't be getting anything of any significance that will add functionality, add extra blur capabilities here, add extra telephony features there. It's basically going to be security fixes only from this autumn onwards.
Right.
Yeah. Which all leads us into what happens after that, of course. Now, Windows 10 Mobile in the form of the Lumia 950, 650, 950 XL, 550, they will be coming up on 2 years old this autumn. And 2 years is normally the sweet spot at which manufacturers say, come on, people who have bought this on a typical 2 year contract, they will be looking to change anyway. 2 years is the point where most manufacturers think, okay, enough is enough. We can stop supporting the handset, but we can move on. We can move on to the next thing. And we can expect people to be looking to buy something else. It's not unreasonable that people to be looking for a new shiny toy after, quote, 2 years. So looking again at my chart, we've got this purple section, Windows 10. Everywhere, if you like, with a composable adaptive shell, all in one, desktop, hybrid, tablet, mobile, Xbox, HoloLens, all of that. We are getting to the point we've been getting to for a few years where Windows 10 is not only just on the desktop and mobile and maybe on tablet, it is on all these other form factors. And not only that, but the shells, the launchers, the user interface that's presented to the user, that will at some point in early 2018, that will also be common code across all these different form factors. So really the next level of Windows 10 everywhere. And at that point, people say, well, we may get a Surface Phone, we may get an ultra mobile PC. What's your bet for where we'll be in this the AWP world, where the Windows 10 mobile enthusiast, where do you think we'll be in spring 2018 in terms of what we'll actually be able to see and buy and use?
Yeah, I think you're right on track with a Surface Phone idea, the all-in-one kind of Surface Phone, because I think that Microsoft I feel like they've kind of built that Surface brand into something that people want now. And so to not use that as kind of the face of it would be kind of strange to me to come out with some other line. We're talking about unification, so using Surface makes sense. Honestly, I think that's where it would be. And as far as I would buy one, I think, depending on the price. Like I said, I always lean budget, but perhaps a line of Surface phones would be what they potentially could be looking at.
Yeah, I think things will lean more towards an ultra mobile PC, or that's how they'll be branded and that's how they'll be introduced. I don't know whether you saw the Windows 10 on ARM demonstrator unit. I don't think I put a still from a video of it being demonstrated from Computex a couple of days ago. And it basically looked like a large sort of 950XL type device, but about an inch and a half thick, with lots of extra, you know, computer ports at the bottom. And obviously that's pure prototype, and it's just got all the electronics in and no attempt whatsoever to optimize the thickness. But it was interesting that the front of it did look like a standard phablet with sensors and a camera up the top and a full-size touchscreen and so forth. So if they can get something like that to, say, 15 millimeters, 16 millimeters thick, and with maybe one USB 3 port, maybe a USB type C port, and pitch it as an ultra mobile PC that is your phone when you need a phone, it's your computer when you need a computer, and you plug in one USB type C port, and that is running off on your hot desk to your monitor, to your mouse, to your keyboard, whatever. That's the vision. I do worry, Steve, I don't know whether what your feeling is, I do worry that there still aren't enough people in the world that want to do this. It's the same worry that Rafe and I had about Continuum back at the start. Continuum is a wonderfully logical vision. You plug in your phone and the applications scale up onto a secondary display, you're using them, everything's wonderful, except that most people would actually rather not carry around all the wires and have all the connection. They'd rather just take a laptop with them. Do you think we're moving into a world where this will be something that people want to do?
Yes, I do think so. I think it's going to take a while for people to kind of get used to that idea, perhaps. But the thing is, if it works and it's a natural thing, that there's no hiccups, there's no, you know, I mean, you've talked about Continuum and unplugging, and then you plug back in and everything's, you know, broken. You know, it's one of those, it has to work seamlessly for it to take off. And it is something that with, you know, proper advertising, you know, they could, as long as it is seamless. That's the thing that I think anybody who hasn't used Windows 10 Mobile, who would start using it now, I think that's maybe the biggest thing. Because, like, if you use it every day, you don't really notice. You start to kind of get used to a few things. So I think it's one of those, they have to iron out anything. People shouldn't have to get used to anything as far as how seamless it is. So I definitely think that that's a great idea. And I think it's something people would latch on to, especially people who travel. I would be totally on board with it. I would love that. I do myself require quite a powerful PC for doing graphic design and video and things like that. So I don't know. It would be tough for me to bring this on. I mean, it would have to be very powerful hardware for me to use this. And I think that's the one thing, too, that may hold it back a little bit. But the thing is most users, they don't really need that sort of thing. So I think this would be definitely something that's really marketable for them.
I am tempted, Steve, to mention a trend towards more compact phones. And I was going to mention that things like the Galaxy S8 Plus and LG G6, I've reviewed recently, we've seen a move to more pocketable, more handleable phones. But at the same time, we should note, of course, that the chipsets are getting more and more powerful. These things are now powered by Snapdragon 835s. And we've seen with Samsung, with their Dexdock, which we've mentioned in previous podcasts, is 100% Continuum compatible. And you can plug a Lumia 950 into a Dexdock. It's the same idea. It's USB-C to HDMI and other ports, and just like a breakout box, really. But Samsung has done the same idea with Dex, really. And people are reporting that it performs pretty well. So if Microsoft does do an ultra mobile PC and a Surface phone, it doesn't actually have to look as big as that prototype unit we saw that demonstrating Windows 10 on ARM. It may actually be more svelte, more handleable, knowing the fact that all you need is that one USB Type-C and everything else is then possible and powered by a really powerful chipset. So we just don't know. I've done links before to the concept Surface phone, which was a kind of a 6.5-inch screen beast with stereo speakers, this feature, kickstand on the back. And part of me wants that. It's the Nokia communicator fan of me. I want the all-in-one device that has a large enough screen to use it everywhere. But in actual fact, we may end up seeing something similar to that Samsung Galaxy S8. But from Microsoft, and with all the Microsoft power and inside in terms of Continuum and displays and Windows 10.
Right. Absolutely.
In terms of that deck stock, have you seen the decks operate? Presumably you've seen the videos, but not in person.
No, I have not, no.
It's still a niche concept. I mean, I can see what Samsung were doing. They're taking the inspiration from Continuum and expanding Android to run on this extra display, although they can't quite make it work as a secondary display. They basically use it as the display with the Android app scaling up. But I think it's basically the sheer performance of that Snapdragon 835 makes it all possible, and maybe the 835 is also the key to unlocking whatever Microsoft has plans for, you know, Surface Phone and beyond.
Right. Yeah, definitely. It's a great idea, I think. I think it is a little, like you said, coming out of one USB-C port would be perfect. Because having something else that, you know, I mean, everything seems to be going wireless, and I think that's a concept that perhaps would hinder things if they had to use a device with wires coming out everywhere. You know, that's going wireless with these with a Surface Phone type thing is probably the best way to go as far as making it more appealing, I guess, to people, because thinking about plugging into like a Continuum dock and you've still got multiple wires to deal with. I mean, obviously, like I said, everything's going without wires these days. You know, 3.5 millimeter jacks are gone basically. You can, for the foreseeable future, when we're looking at spring 2018, I can't imagine that they'll have that on something like a Surface Phone.
Yeah, we've got Miracast, of course, which built on DLNA. We've got, of course, Bluetooth and Bluetooth connections between these different devices. As I found, though, when I was using Continuum on the HP Elite X3, which is just about as powerful a chip as you can get with Windows 10 Mobile, and there was still very laggy, and there were still clear performance restrictions on the connectivity. Surely we're going to have to go to some kind of Wi-Fi direct world, where these devices are communicating at Wi-Fi speed to displays rather than using Bluetooth for all the control mechanisms for user interface, mouse, trackpad, keyboard, and so forth. I think that there's work to do in terms of the displays around people and how compatible they are. There's work to be done in terms of how these displays communicate with the various devices so that you can go completely wireless with no lag. And I think that's probably a year or two away.
Yeah, and I mean, according to the, you know, to your chart here, that might be lining up with exactly what they're going for,
which is all rather impatient for you and I, with the Lumias getting older in our hands and not that much else left to fill on the Windows 10 ecosystem, and then we're now saying it might be another year away, and at some point it does rather start to test people's patience.
Yeah, I'm hoping that hanging on to my 950 will get me there as far as updates and but that's just kind of the world we're in at the moment for Windows Phone is you buy a device. You used to be able, like we were talking about, buy a device and not have to worry about keeping it for too long, but hanging on to these 950s, we'll probably have them for 4 years total at this time, you know, coming up.
Yeah, at which point the chipsets will be starting to look rather long in the tooth. From my chart, I think one of the things I wanted to get on on people on board with was the fact that the 950 range, even the Elite X3 range, they will come to a natural halt in terms of the updates to that universal app platform. I think they will genuinely stop, even if you've got an Elite X3, which itself is you know, being sold to companies. I think obviously they'll carry on supporting it with security fixes. I've mentioned that, but they're not going to get any extra drivers, not going to get any extra features to the Edge browser and so forth, any extra features to Cortana. That will physically stop, in line with the Microsoft's plan that everything will change about Windows 10 on mobile, because they're redoing mobile from the ground up with this new Windows 10 composable shell. And none of us just know what that will look like physically. I mean, will it look like a Galaxy S8 with a Microsoft badge on the top? Who knows? There are already people distributing the S8 with Microsoft applications and kind of as a Microsoft device, rather amazingly. Maybe it'll look like that. Maybe it'll look like that giant demonstrator device, but slimmed down. Maybe it'll look like the Surface Phone concept I linked to earlier. We just don't know. And it's almost an uncharted territory that we have actually no idea what will happen next year.
Right. Yeah. And it does definitely lend to kind of a bleak outlook at the moment. I guess there's still, though, there's a confidence that they will have something, you know, to appease all of us hardcore Windows Phone users soon. Hopefully, in the, you know, that when spring 2018 rolls around, we'll have something we can put our hands on. And leading up to that, you know, there's going to be leaks and everything. So everybody watching Windows 10 Mobile knows that there's always going to be news leading up to something else, hopefully leading up to a new device.
Yeah. Well, Satya Nadella's come from a cloud background and cloud services, where he's hanging his hat, as it were, and we've seen that really in the way that, you know, Windows 10 as a service, Office as a service, and so forth, and all the different other Microsoft properties which they've now put on iOS and Android. So they've clearly got juggling many balls in the air and many fingers and pies and whatever metaphor you want to talk about. They've clearly given up on first-party hardware, and at this point there really isn't much in the way of third-party hardware coming along to fill the gap, which, as you say, means that we just carry on using our 950, 950 XL, and we see what happens. I think there will come a point where we'll all have to gently retire them and move on to whatever Microsoft is doing next. But in the meantime, we've got a year of being patient and just living with the UWP apps and making do. Or, as you and I have found, actually having a different device and a different operating system to fill the obvious gaps. And that's kind of a shame.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, on Android, though, at least Microsoft is developing their apps for Android, which I'm not 100% sure how to feel about the amount of effort that they put into those. But, you know, in the meantime, like I said, it's been 2 years, you know, for these 950s. And I think people are sort of starting to settle in to that idea. I mean, outside of Alcatel releasing some devices, I think people are sort of used to the idea that they're just not going to get new hardware, at least anything exciting, for a while.
Yeah. Even that Alcatel Idol 4S, while it's got the speakers and the really cool, pretty nice screen and a lovely build quality, at the same time the camera's not a patch on our 950, which you had almost two years ago now. So it's a crazy world, really, where we can't ever really get everything we want all in one device, whether it's talking of software or components or functionality. There's always compromises to be made, and it's one of the eternal A, frustrations in my life, and B, delights, because it gives me things to chat about and write about.
Yeah, exactly. That's I think part of the reason why there's so many people who get into cell phones and trying them, is because I just cannot find that one device that does it all for me, that does everything I want. I'm on board with you with the stereo speakers. That is a big thing. But you can't get it. I feel like I can't find a phone with stereo speakers that I actually want to carry around with me all the time, you know? So, a lot of them aren't available. People give you a lot of guff for talking about the Marshall London, but I can't get my hands on one for a decent price, you know? And But the thing is it's so out of date, you know, so it's, you just can't get a device that does everything, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I'm really looking forward to trying this Idle 4S, if indeed it does come to Germany, and if indeed I do manage to import one into the UK, despite Brexit and various other political machinations. But anyway, it's been great chatting to you, Steve. Thanks for being a guest, and we'll try and get you on our other podcast, Phone Show Chat. It'd be great to have you on that at some point, and we can talk more about Android without the Windows fans feeling guilty.
Yeah, I definitely would enjoy that. I have plenty to say for
Androids. Right, we'll look forward to that. Where can people find you online, Steve?
I have a website, pixelswim.com, and mostly on Twitter, at pixelswim.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on, and we'll catch you all next week on the podcast. Hopefully, we'll try and get Mr. Rafe Blanford back. And sorry, this was on kind of a wing and a prayer. I'm on my mobile rig, so apologies for any audio lapses. But hopefully, it's still a good bit of a Windows Phone, Windows 10 mobile chat for you to listen to. Catch you next week. Bye for now.